sit down next to you. Yeah, I remember you from school. You seem to have a good heart.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Melissa Etheridge earns the word fearless. A female rocker in a long male-dominated music world, coming out as a lesbian in 1993, one of the first openly gay celebrities, facing down breast cancer and proudly performing with her chemo bald head at the 2005 Grammys, standing up now for human rights in Russia. And there's always the music. She's on a solo tour and coming out with a new album in September, still rocking. This hour on Point, Melissa Etheridge talks life, music, and her passions. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. What's your question for Melissa Etheridge? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now in the studio, we are delighted to have Melissa Etheridge, rocker, guitarist, singer, songwriter, activist, two-time Grammy winner, Academy Award winner, multi-platinum artist. Her new album, This Is Me, M.E., is out next month. Melissa Etheridge, wow, you're right here. Welcome to On Point.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, how terrific to have you. Where did you get that voice? Where did you get that raspy Rod Stewart, Janis Joplin, Melissa Etheridge voice?
You know, I don't know. I started singing when I was about 10, probably in choirs and stuff. And they used to, the choir director used to put me in the very, very back because I had such a strange voice.
Strange? Because strange. It sounded older than your years? Or
maybe
just...
so. And I started singing, you know, in bars when I was about 11. So I guess I was always a little older.
Bars at 11? This is Leavenworth, Kansas.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Yeah. So, and never smoked and never really drank. And so I was around a lot of smoke, though, a lot of secondhand smoke. So maybe that was it.
Secondhand smoke may have made your career. We don't want to look at it that
I know,
way.
But I'm better now.
11 years old in bars in Leavenworth, Kansas?
Yeah,
I didn't think they allowed that in Kansas.
They didn't. I looked a little older than I was. And my father was always with me. And it was... When I was 11, I used to just come in for the first set. I wouldn't hang out till it got gnarly, you know. But but by the time I was 13, I was playing, you know, in bands full time from like 9 to 1. And you know, bless my dad, he used to sit there all night long, and I just come in and do my gig and leave. And I would drink orange juice and sit there. And it sure got me off of drinking, though. I really
right,
watching all grown ups getting all messy and stuff. I was like, yeah, I don't need to do that.
Slumped over the bar, maybe not. When did you think to yourself, this is, or maybe you were then at that age, this is me, I'm a poet, I'm a dreamer, I'm a singer, I'm an artist?
Well, you dream, you just become that. I mean, I had a great desire to be where my favorite artists were, in you know, on the radio. I would watch, you know, television, I would watch the Soul Train and the the Midnight Special, and I would watch these things, and that's what I want. I didn't know how to get there, but I had the dream, and so I was a dreamer, you know. And it was sometimes it was my little secret dream, you know. I didn't play my songs for anyone until I was much older.
Did you think they would be your songs from early on? Were you one of those kids with a spiral notebook writing, you know, poems that would become lyrics?
Sort of. It was strange. I really liked a typewriter because my handwriting was really awful.
Wow. So that's the rare poet who prefers the typewriter.
I preferred the typewriter. And I would dream about... I knew that if they liked my songs, that was the ultimate. If I could sing my own songs, that would be making it.
We want to hear what you're singing these days. I've got a little bit from your new album coming out next month. This is M.E. Fan Club can already pre-order at melissaetheridge.com. iTunes pre-order starts next Tuesday, and you're doing this independently this time. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
This is, let's just hear the right up-to-date sound of Melissa Etheridge. We've all sung her hits from over the years in the shower. I know I have, but here's right up to it. I Won't Be Alone Tonight from This Is Me, another off her new album.
Darkness.
Sounds pretty good to me. I won't be alone tonight. Melissa Etheridge off her new album. This is Emmy. This is me. Camille is calling for you, Melissa, from Charleston, South Carolina. Camille, you're on the air with Melissa Etheridge.
Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Pleasure. I have a question and a comment type thing, I guess.
Yeah.
Sting says every couple of years he likes giving his songs a new dress.
Who says that? Sting? Sting. Okay.
Sting, yeah. He kind of rearranges his music, right, really. Mm-hmm. And he never, however, gives them a brand new pair of shoes or a handbag, which would be changing the lyrics, in my opinion.
Okay. A new dress, Sting says, for his music, but not new shoes or a handbag. Okay.
And my question for Ms. Etheridge, and thank you so much not only for your life and music, but just for you as an energy. Would you, over the course of time with your music, do you look back or sing any of the lyrics and kind of maybe have a different viewpoint on this or that line?
Oh, it's a funny journey with songs that seep into the society's, you know, earwigs and mind, mm-hmm. you know, mind things. It's funny because they hear it a certain way and it stays there. So I will also give my songs a new dress or else I'll lose my mind. You know,
what does it mean to you?
Well,
different delivery?
A different approach. Mm-hmm. Like Come to My Window, which I've certainly played many times.
Come to My Window. Yeah. My shower has
there
heard that
go.
One
yes,
a few times.
You know, a few people have heard that. Mm-hmm. I will approach it. In concert now, I will approach it dynamically where when it comes to the first chorus, we break down and we let the audience sing the first chorus. You just give kind of a different approach to it. But you got to keep those words. You got to keep the melody. You got to keep that when everyone wants to go, I don't care what they think.
Yeah,
you know, when they want to do it, you got to give them that rise. You got to let them have that. So
it's kind of like you can play with parts, but not with all.
Yeah, because there's something about that moment that they love, that they want to experience again, and I hold that very dear.
That was big, big, mega hit in 1993. That album went, multi-platinum.
Six times platinum. We won't be doing that anymore.
And that makes you a rock star. I guess you never look back. Yeah. Let's hear what Melissa Etheridge is doing with all that talent right now. A little more from the new album. This is Emmy. This is me. Here's a little bit of Monster from the album.
They've been calling me the monster ever since the day I was born. They were saying, huh, don't hurt no one, each and every Sunday morn. I rise so strong.
Off This Is Me. That's stomping. That's cool. What's that twangy pluck?
That's me.
What are you playing? Is it a banjo?
That's a slide guitar on an acoustic, on an old 1957 Gibson acoustic guitar.
Oh, that's a great, almost dobro kind of thing in the background
that's
there.
That's exactly. I actually started doing, we were playing a different song, and I started playing that in the studio, and the producer, Jerry Wanda, who was part of the Fugees, he was a bass player, he said, stop! What are you playing? That's not just messing around.
We want that.
Yeah, exactly. And we recorded this song then.
So that twangy slide guitar is you. What about that strong, devastating monster? Is that you?
Of course. It's each and every one of us. It's just about being different and sometimes being scary to people and going, what, you know, no, there's nothing to be afraid of. I'm a monster full of love.
We'll take that. You know, you have seemed to have the fearlessness of a monster. You came out as gay when that wasn't so easy, when that wasn't so common.
No.
But you never seemed to be, freaked out by your own fine self. You just said it. You just were it.
Or
were you tortured about coming out?
I wouldn't say I was tortured, but it was very important to me because I was out to my family. I was out to my friends. I was living an out life to be in the closet. I was afraid it would come across as a lie, and that really bugged me. I didn't like lying. So it was important to me to just be myself. And that's the way I've walked it, is, okay, I'm just going to answer everything truthfully. I never went out to go, I'm gay, I'm gay. And I was never really pushing an agenda at that point. It became a civil rights issue. But at that point, it was, this is who I am. And if you're not going to like my music because of that, then you really aren't hearing my music at all.
The album title was Yes, I Am. Yeah. And that was about your sexuality.
Sort of.
Or
the song.
More.
Well, yeah, of course I picked that title and went, I guess people will think that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that title was actually a love song.
Yeah. There's a lot going on in Melissa Etheridge's music and Melissa Etheridge's life. She's with us today. Her big new album, This Is Me, Emmy, comes out next month. Of course, Yes, I Am, was the one that just went over the moon for her. I'm the Only One, another one of those. All Americans know it. You've heard it many, many times. She's in the studio with us today, and you can join us. Have you followed the long, rocking career of Melissa Etheridge? Were you there listening when she hit it big? Do you remember your first impression? And how do you hear Melissa now? We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Her guitar is with us. She's going to pick it up and play it before you know it. You comfortable there, Melissa? Ready to play
Absolutely,
a little bit?
Absolutely, you bet.
We'll take a little break and come right back and do that. 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook with Melissa Etheridge. This is On Point. Ashbrook, this is On Point. We are in the studio with longtime rocker, rock star, singer, songwriter, guitarist, activist, Melissa Etheridge, behind us right there, Do It Again, from her new album, out September 30th, This Is Me, M.E. She hit it big with Come to My Window in 1993, and she is still rocking in a changed music world. We will look at that and much more. New album behind us right there. You're probably hearing it for the first time. Sounds pretty good. Melissa, we got so many callers for you. Minneapolis, Minnesota. Jonathan is on the line. Hi, Jonathan. You're on the air with Melissa Etheridge.
Hi.
Hi, Jonathan.
Good morning. Afternoon, Melissa. How are you today?
Whatever it might be. I'm great.
Okay, first off, I'm going to give you some love. I have loved you since I'm 16 years old.
Yay.
I'm 40 years old, and you're coming to Minneapolis on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. However, the ticket prices are out of control, and I love you so much, and I had to call in and say, God bless you for being you, and I appreciate you, and your new music sounds wonderful. So one of these days, I hope when you come to Minneapolis, we can go for coffee.
You're so sweet. You've been on my Twitter, haven't you? You're the Jonathan on my Twitter, right?
Yes, ma'am, and it's a chance of rain, so wear something pleather.
Ah! All right.
Twitter binding everybody together.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's just a big fan, and I do appreciate you so much, Jonathan.
Jonathan, I hope you can be there. I mean, it's an interesting time that we live in, and you know this. I mean, people talk about ticket prices.
Yeah.
You know, everything is kind of flying apart in this country, right? We've got people for whom those tickets will, the price of the ticket will be nothing.
Yeah.
And others working at cashier, whom that is a lot.
Yeah.
Can you feel that? When you think about coming out with a new album, going out on tour, you know, is it a different country in those terms than you started playing in?
Well, no, it's actually, that's always kind of been the situation. There's always been the different. Of course, the middle class is shrinking, that's a little difficult to reach. Yet, what what we're doing with ticket prices. The show Saturday is not my own show. It's a big, it's a Minneapolis festival.
Oh, great.
So I don't control
those ticket prices. Okay, so you're just a piece of the action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, my shows, we always offer the tiered prices. You know, yeah, right up front, that's going to be more expensive. But you can get a reasonable ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, it's up in the balcony, but it can be a reasonable ticket. And that's always, that means something to me, that if someone really wants to see me, they can come for a reasonable price and enjoy the music.
That's good, because they call it pop music for a reason. Popular,
popular.
As in lots of people.
Yeah.
Joan in Nashville, Tennessee. Joan, you're on the air. Thank you for calling. You're on with Melissa Etheridge.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Joan.
Hey, so listen, I can remember having sleepovers, and when I'm the Only One came on, we couldn't sing worth a, you know what. So we would just be belting that song out in our pajamas and our rollers and the whole thing. So what I wanted to tell you is that I have a 15, almost 16-year-old daughter who came running into the room maybe a couple of months ago. Mom, you've got to hear this song. She's a guitar player. This woman is phenomenal. And, of course, she played one of your songs. And like, this is some new discovery on her part. And so now you are just all over our house all the time. Like, and she's introducing you to her friends. And so I wondered how you felt about being a crossover generational artist. And I know you have children. I don't stalk artists. I don't know how old your kids are at this point. And are they interested in music, or do you want them to be a part of music, or...
That's
and I'll just listen. I'm going to hang up and just listen.
Thank you, Joan.
Thank you so much, Joan, for the question and for the comment. That's exactly where I hope I am in today's music listening world. I know with, yes, I do have children. I have 17-year-old, 15-year-old, and 2 7-year-olds. And yes, music is such an important part of their culture. And that's they can discover me with, as we were talking about, the changing musical landscape. Mm-hmmm. It is common now for the young music listener to go find the music that they want, not necessarily be told this is what's popular today. You know, they have their popular
mm-hmm.
artists. Those,
sure.
those are out there on those stations.
Find what you like, what
find,
you want.
And it's like currency between kids. Oh, here, have you heard this artist? Mm-hmm. Have you heard this? And to be discovered over and over is so delightful for me. I love to look out in the audience and see my 50-plus,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and
people
they're there,
out there.
No
and,
doubt.
And then my 30-plus, mm-hmm. that generation. And then
15.
Oh, yes. It's beautiful. It's so, because they listen to the whole body of work, and it's great to be taken as an artist and not just that one hit song that's out.
Will you play a little for us? You've got your guitar
yeah.
right here. You've got the new album coming out. There's a number called Take My Number.
Yeah.
Would you play a little?
I will. Absolutely.
Live in the On Point studio with a little tuning up and a little playing. Melissa Etheridge.
All right. Here we go. Take My Number. Do you mind if I sit down next to you? Well, I remember you from school. You seem to have a good heart. Well, way back then, you were gonna make it big. But it's divorce now with a couple kids. Brings you back to these parts. Everybody stumbles, everybody hits the ground. No use running scared when those changes come around. And you don't know what might be waiting for you tonight. Oh, you really shouldn't drive. You've had too much to drink. You shouldn't be alone. Where all you're gonna do is think. So take my number, or I can take you home, yeah. We can find a cup of coffee. We can sit all night and talk. And there's a diner always open just around the block. So take my number, or I can take you home. Those dreams that were gonna set us free, What did we ever know at 23 about what we really want? Everybody's got a fire that's always gonna burn. No way to put it out. All we ever do is learn. And you don't know what might be waiting for you tonight. Alone, where all you're gonna do is think. Take my number, or I can take you home. Yeah. We can find a cup of coffee, we can sit all night and talk. And there's a diner always open, just around the block. So take my number, or I can take you home. Take you home. Mind if I sit down next to you? Well, I remember you from school. You seem to have a real good heart. Oh, you really shouldn't drive. You've had too much to drink. You shouldn't be alone, but all you're gonna do is stay. So take my number, or I can take you home. Coffee, we can sit all night and talk. There's a diner always open, just around the block. Take my number, I can take you home. Take my number, or I can take you home.
Melissa Etheridge, Take My Number from her new album. This is M.E. This is me. You have rock star charisma. We're in the studio here, and the hairs are up on the back of my neck.
Yay.
Where does that come from? Where on earth does that come from?
You know, I think it's a belief. I think it's how I believe what I'm doing, you know, and how I believe that I want to present myself. It's a funny place. I don't know, because I've been doing it since I was so very young. But I think it's a channel that those who want to do it, they can tune into it.
That presence is in your conversation, even when you're just talking. It's there. It's something. I mean, were you that kid in school who they said, oh, there's a bright number. There's one that switched on. Or were you?
I don't know. Back then it was Kansas in the 60s and they weren't really paying attention. I don't know.
Scott in West Palm Beach, Florida. Scott, you're on with Melissa Etheridge.
Hey, Scott.
Hi, Melissa.
Hey, what's up?
I want to give you a few quick shout-outs. Positives and say, one, you're the only female singer that I own every album you've ever made.
Yay.
And I will buy without hearing a song.
Yay!
I already know it'll be that good.
Yay.
I don't have to hear anything. I saw you once in the Jackie Gleason Theater in Miami.
Yeah.
And it was in Only You, Only Acoustic.
Yeah.
And that was the greatest concert I have ever seen. And I've seen you probably 25 times.
Awesome.
I would love to hear you do an acoustic album someday, just because your voice is spectacular. My question for you, or my comment, is this. You're often compared to Janis Joplin because of the raspy voice, but one of the things that I see about your music that attracts me so much is you're a storyteller. And I think that that's a lost art from the 60s, where almost everybody was telling a story in their songs. And now we just go for lead lines that are repeated. And I still see everything you say as an expression of a story. And I feel, as a listener, like you take me on a journey. Is that more a style of your writing, or is that an intention?
Scott, we've got it. And yes, we all hear it. I mean, even in this new song, Take My Number, and you've got, I remember you from school.
Yeah.
It's divorced now with a couple kids. There's a story. Almost country music style, the way there's a story here.
Well, I grew up in Kansas, and we listened to one radio station. We had one radio station. We had no choice. It was one AM radio station, Johnny Dolan's WHB, and they would play they would play the pop, you know, Tommy James and the Shondells mm-hmm. song. Then they would play Marvin Gaye. Mm-hmm. Then they would play Led Zeppelin. Then they would play Tammy Wynette.
Put it all together, and what have you got?
Melissa Etheridge, yeah. So that's, and that's actually what this album's about a lot. But country music was a big part of my music education. The first bands I played in were country bands, and I knew what really got an audience was when I could sing that song, and they were hearing the story, and it was moving yeah. them. And to me, that's what songwriting was. How can I get you from point A to point B in this story, have you feel something before you even think about it?
Scott in Palm Beach says that's a lost art. Do you see that having slipped away out of popular music, let's say?
Yes, in that... sort of in modern culture, in our pop culture, even television, movies, it becomes more the special effect, the soundbite and the special effect. Yeah. That's kind of where we've gotten to.
Yeah. The sensation.
In that moment. Yet, I believe in the listener and the person who is looking for art to move them, who is looking for literature and music and that experience of the written word to actually... move them. So that, although it might not be the popular art right now, it mm-hmm. is still a viable art form.
You're still catching all kinds of people with it. Linda in Buffalo, New York. Linda, you're on the air with Melissa Etheridge.
What an honor this is for me.
Oh, thank
I never
you.
Thought I'd really get the chance to say hello and welcome you to NPR and all the good stuff.
Oh, thank you so much, Linda.
I hope that someday you're on Prairie Home Companion. I think that'd be awesome.
Working on it.
Yeah, groovy. And I hope that you come to Buffalo someday.
Yes.
Picture you in our Philharmonic Hall in Klein Hands, but there's only 3,000 seats.
Oh, that's fine. That'll do just fine for me.
I saw, just when I was newly pregnant and didn't know it, I saw Harry Chapin in that hall, and it was so... You know, he was just right there. And your honesty and your integrity and your musicianship, it just is astounding. I just wish you everything that could ever be good for you.
Well, thank you.
I'm a cancer survivor myself, and your music helped me get through some of that.
Well, I really appreciate that. And the funny thing is, I feel, I have a deep belief in my heart that I will never, ever go hungry. Because someone will always buy me dinner. Someone will always make me dinner. That's sort of the feeling that I get from my fans. Is this? It's a deep love between my fans and myself. And like the last caller was talking about playing solo. It's funny that she mentioned a symphony hall and he mentioned playing solo because I've been on tour sort of this summer playing solo
with the San Francisco
and
symphony.
Doing the symphonies mm-hmm. also. So it's I want to give my fans, give the people who enjoy that experience, all these kind of different of ways to experience the band and or just me solo or with a symphony orchestra. It's just celebrating music, and so I appreciate Linda in Buffalo very much, and Linda, I'll be there soon.
Linda, I appreciate your call. Of course, cancer survivorship makes a bond in itself. How's that going? That was 10 years ago.
10 years ago,
now?
I am 10 years cancer free. Oh yeah.
That's really great. We remember 2000, was it 5 at the Grammys
yeah.
when you were in chemo, you were bald, and you sang a tribute to Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
That was just fantastic bravery right there again. Did you hesitate on that, or just here I am, let's go?
You know, it's funny. The whole experience of that was, first I was diagnosed in October of 2004 mm-hmm. and going through treatments in November and December and
yeah.
January.
And they're tough.
And they're very tough. And it was, mine was a dose dense because I couldn't, mm-hmm. I didn't have to work. I could just take time mm-hmm. off and really just mm-hmm. do it as...
Let it knock you down and do its
totally.
Thing.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And I got a call in the beginning of January saying they're doing a tribute to Janis Joplin. Would you like to? And my first yeah. thought was, well, I'm just going to be coming off of chemo.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, I don't want anybody else to sing it.
Yeah.
You know, that would bum me out sitting at home watching.
You
so,
could have
yeah.
worn one of Dolly Parton's wigs.
And for a second I thought about a wig, and then I thought about, I've got one big hair movement and yeah. the wig's off, and it's really, yeah. let's not do that. So I said, I'm bald. I've always been truthful. Going to be bald, and that's what I did.
Another memorable Melissa Etheridge moment behind us right here, Like the Way I Do. This is from way back, debut, self-titled album, 1988. She's still very much at it. Melissa Etheridge with me in the studio. Join us, 800-423-8255. This is On Point. Yeah.
In front of total strangers, won't you kiss me? Flowers for no reason, but you miss me. Oh, I want to be in love.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are in the studio, the On Point studio, with longtime rocker, rock star, singer-songwriter, guitarist, activist, Melissa Etheridge. She's out with a new album next month. This is M.E. This is me. This goes back, I Want to Be in Love, to 2001, her album Skin. She is touring. She's out with new material. And with a whole lot of years and songs and followers, still making it new. She was with me in the studio, and how great to have her right here. She's got a guitar on her lap, and we're going to hear more before this hour is over. Callers just coming through the rafters for you, Melissa. Daniel in Northampton, Massachusetts, you are on the air with Melissa Etheridge.
Hello, Tom. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Daniel.
I just wanted to say thank you, and I'm sure you hear that a lot, but I'm kind of probably not your typical fan. I've kind of been in the military probably over 20 years, and I just wanted to say thank you, because no matter where I go, I take you with me.
Aww.
So Iraq, Afghanistan, Kosovo, the Middle East, Kuwait, Korea, you name it, you're there with me, helping me reconnect back with home, even though I'm away from family and friends. And like I said, I just wanted to thank you for that and the stories that you provide to me.
Why Melissa, Daniel? Why is she the one with you in Iraq and Afghanistan and right on?
I think just because I started listening to her since, I was in high school in 88, 89. And I think, like the other callers were saying, just your stories, I think, really connect with me and the things that I was doing and the people I was going to, and whether or not you're breaking hearts and hanging out with people, that I think it really, just listening to it, takes me back to those happy places and occasions. And I just, her voice and her stories just have always touched me. And I've seen her probably 2 dozen times in concert, from actually in Kansas to
wow,
D.C. and up in Northampton.
Hey, Daniel, you're a soldier in the U.S. Army?
Correct.
Melissa is a rock star, gay rock star in California. Does that put any distance between you or not?
It does. I mean, even if you have different political views or whatever, or sexual orientations, I think her stories, I think, touch you deep inside. I mean, I obviously have, gay friends and all stuff. I consider myself family, but I don't think any of that stuff really matters when it comes down to the root story and meaning of her music. So
that means,
like I said, I take her with me everywhere.
Oh, Daniel, that means so much to me, because it was the thought 20 years ago that if I came out, that
you'd lose Daniel.
I would lose Daniel. That Daniel wouldn't want to listen to my music, and that's not true. And
yeah,
I have always believed in the in human nature. I've always believed that human emotion is universal, and that the stories might be different. It might be a man or a woman, or whatever the situation might be.
Mm-hmm.
Yet that universal internal feeling of longing or of happiness, sadness, dreams, whatever
it is. Gay or
straight,
you name it.
It goes, and I love that. And Daniel, you are exactly whom one of my favorite places to reach, and it means so much to me. And thank you so much. And just, I don't know how to thank you, but that just means so much to me, Daniel.
Wow.
Thank you. Keep rocking.
Right on. That's my plan.
You touched the rock star right there, Daniel. Thank you very much for your call. Has it changed, Melissa, over the years? The country has changed. The laws have changed.
Yeah.
You're married now.
I'm really married with
a gay partner. Congratulations, earlier this year.
Yeah.
Has the reception changed culturally, or did you always manage to somehow, jump over the old cultural resistance?
Well, it was the way my father raised me back in Kansas. He came from Missouri, migrant farmers. He was a school teacher, high school teacher, basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, always be grateful to your audience. Always believe in the goodness of people. If I worked hard and just played fair, then I would be rewarded for that. And I always believe that. And that has been the case. And so walking through history now, coming out when it wasn't a conversation, when I was one of the first people, I had to talk about being gay for about 3 years,
Nothing else.
Nothing
what?
Else but that.
What?
Yes. And yet now I have seen it it's in the culture now, mainly because people have been willing to come out and present themselves as, yes. So now we
as
are
human beings. Here
yeah,
I am,
and we are visible. We are a part of this, of the fabric of our human society, and that helps normalize it. So it's not so scary and crazy anymore in people's heads. Like, oh my God, what's wrong with you?
You have been in addition to a musician, an activist on so many fronts, and it's funny because you don't exactly have that activist feel. I mean, it just comes out, but I mean, whether it's on the cancer front and people fighting there, whether it's on gay rights, you got an Academy Award for doing the soundtrack for Al Gore's film on the environment. You were saying legalized
cannabis,
pot before that was a big deal. You've been campaigning more recently for gay rights beyond our borders, in Russia. Why Russia? Why gay rights
well,
there?
Well, I think it was the first thing that really stuck out. It was last summer when the Supreme Court knocked down DOMA and Prop 8, and it was celebration. I remember feeling this sense of, wow, in this country, we finally did it. We pushed it over, and it is now understood that this is a civil right, that we have a lot to, you know, our own opinions, you know, go a long way, but we can work on that. And it was just no sooner, just a couple weeks later, that we started seeing these pictures from Russia coming in and understanding that the Olympics were going to be there and understanding that this is, yes, America is still the leader of the free world. It really is, of the world.
On a new front now, here, gay rights, and you've got this coalition called Uprising of Love. Which is what, to support gay rights in
yes,
Russia?
Yes, one, it's a song. Mm-hmm. I did, okay. I because that's what I do. I wrote a song
about the experience. We did take note.
Yes. And the movement is a place where people can, I mean, you can go uprisingoflove.org, I believe it is, and the Russian Freedom Fund is a specific part of that. But we have definitely changed Uprising of Love to be more international, since there are places on the earth where we are still not only being persecuted, we are being killed. We are being thrown into jail for the rest of our lives for our natural human state of loving.
Let's go to Bill in Boston. Bill, you're on the air with Melissa Etheridge.
Hi, Melissa. I just wanted to thank you for a very special memory. My daughter is 20 years old. She just turned 20 this past Monday. And not many songs bring me back to an exact moment, but every single time I hear "Come Through My Window," I used to sing that to her to put her to sleep.
Aww.
Which is probably a weird, not normal use of that song, but it was just such a special memory, and I just happened to hear you on the radio just now, and it immediately brought me back there, and I'm feeling a little nostalgic because she just turned 20, and I just wanted to thank you for that.
Hey, Bill, what's your daughter's name, if we may ask?
It's Madeline.
Madeline.
Madeline Conway.
Madeline.
Big student at Northeastern, working at Boston Beer Company right now.
Okay, listen, Bill, you stand by. We're going to do something for Madeline right here. Madeline, who's turning 20, and this touches a chord with me because my own daughter turns 20 today, so I'm in the same boat. Sang her many, many songs. Come to My Window, maybe among them. Melissa, how about a little birthday 20-year-old Come to My Window for Madeline and my own Lauren? That would be awesome.
And I'm sending it out to my own Bailey, who is 17, and she's going to be 20 in a minute, I know. I would dial the numbers just to listen to your breath. I would stand inside my hell and hold the hand of death. You don't know how far I'd go to ease this precious ache. You don't know how much I'd give or how much I can take just to reach you, just to reach you. Oh, to reach you. Crawl inside, wait by the light of the moon. Come to my window, and I'll be home soon. Keeping my eyes open, I cannot afford to sleep. giving away promises I know that I can't keep. Nothing fills the blackness that has seeped into my chest. I need you in my blood. I am forsaking all the rest just to reach you, just to reach you. Oh, I reach you. Oh, come to my window. Crawl inside. Wait by the light of the moon. Come to my window and I'll be home soon. Say, what do they know about this love? Anyway, come to my window, crawl inside. I'll be home soon. Oh, I am coming home.
Melissa Etheridge, going out there to your Madeline Bell and my own sweet girl, Lauren. What a wonderful birthday gift. How, my goodness, it doesn't get better than that.
Thank
right
you.
Here in our On Film studio. Thank you so much, Melissa. That's just terrific. Just wonderful. So many callers for you. Newton, Massachusetts. John, you're on the air with Melissa Etheridge.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, John.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi.
How you doing? It's great to hear you both. And I just wanted to say that my wife's family owned the restaurant Ken's in Copley Square back in the day. And so every time we hear you, we
in Boston, yeah.
Your early days playing at that at the restaurant.
Oh, that was amazing.
This is, you were at the Berklee School of Music.
I was at Berklee College of Music, and it was Ken's by George. Mm-hmm. It was a Ken's Steakhouse.
Yeah, downstairs.
And, yeah, downstairs one. Right across from Copley Square.
And did you play there?
I played there from like 1979 to the end of 1980. And
how old would you have been?
I was 18 and 19.
Okay.
I played the cocktail hour, and then I got the big job from 9 to 1. And I grew up there. I learned so much there, and that is so sweet. And I think we have friends who are in Cape Cod right now. We have you and I have some. Your wife and I have some friends.
John,
I think.
Does your wife Melissa remember those performances? What do they think of this kid Melissa Etheridge and what she might do?
Oh, she blew everybody away. They still talk about it.
That is so sweet, because I haven't really met many people who were around then who remember that. And that's really sweet to remember. You tell your wife hi.
Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you.
Going way back to 18. How terrific. Mm-hmm. One more right here. Steve in Boston. Steve, you're on with Melissa Etheridge.
Hey, Tom. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Steve.
Tom, I've been on the show before. I'm the doctor here in Boston. I'm from Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
And so I feel a great affinity with the state. And when I go back now, when I go see my folks, it feels like there's not a lot of room for people to disagree. Like when a group, I remember lots of different opinions, but kind of room to be nice about it and to understand how we're going to agree to disagree, but we're still going to have a good time with the ball game or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that's gone. And I'm wondering if I know you live in California now, I live in Boston, but I'm wondering if you feel that too when you go back, and if there's anything we can do about it. Because I'm a huge admirer of you and your activism, and I'm just wishing we could change it.
Well, there's a question for the whole country. Kansas first. What do you say?
Well,
Melissa?
Kansas, he speaks such truth about how it felt in Kansas, because mm-hmm. I grew up and my mother was a Democrat and my father was a Republican. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with both sides. I would watch.
But you could have it over the kitchen table. It was all right.
The discussion mm-hmm. and it was healthy and beautiful, and no one was, it didn't have this sort of social nastiness that it has grown into. And Kansas was always the, you know, it was, you know, Brown versus, you know, it's where civil rights was fought. Mm-hmm. It's where
Board of Education.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because it has always been this place of neutrality, trying to be that the center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the last couple decades, it has been hijacked. I do feel that I love my state of Kansas. I especially love Leavenworth, Kansas, where I grew up, because they have maintained their partnership and friendship with me, and they
and you with them. You've been back there investing in Leavenworth a little bit,
very much, mm-hmm. and I look forward to being in Kansas more. And
in spite of how the politics have changed, do you see the way to thread this needle to get out of this? The whole country's kind of stuck in this
because it's based in fear, and if I can show that we don't want to change you. And we are asking that you don't want to change us. Mm-hmm. And we're asking that this amazing country, the fabulous country with the most amazing document called the Constitution, be challenged. That's what we're doing, is challenging it in that these are the rights that 200 years ago they sought to, they knew the problems we were going to get into. Mm-hmm. They knew the discussions. They knew the things that they couldn't even dream of that were going to happen in 200 years, but it's based on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that there's a separation of church and state, and this country can hold all beliefs, and we can be with each other and do that. That's what America is, and I know Kansas is going to represent it. I know they're going to come through.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first, or maybe last, but all the way around, Melissa Etheridge standing there with the founders of the nation in Constitution Hall.
Come on.
Melissa Etheridge, what a treat this has been. We thank you so much for coming in. Good luck with your tour. What, you're headed out to Minneapolis and Colorado and Salt Lake City. The new album out next month is This Is M.E. This Is Me. This is off of that. This is A Little Hard-Hearted. Melissa, thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. Looking forward. Bye.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.